This is Stephen Strang. The prophet Isaiah talked about the Messiah not quenching the smallest flame. And today I'm going to tell you an interesting story about a man who made a huge impact on my life and in a way impacted your life. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report. This one is a little bit different because today I'm going to honor the life and memory of my friend and mentor, George Klaus, and I'll explain in just a minute who he is and what that means, but I also have some guests with me today, which often on my podcast I don't. The first is George's wife and our very good friend, Mary Jo Klaus, and we want to find out what she's thinking, but also my sweet wife, Joy, who we figured out this morning has never been on my podcast, so this is a first. And then Rebecca McGinnis. And we're just going to reminisce about George. And I want to start by just explaining the comment at the beginning of the podcast. George Klaus worked at the Orlando Sentinel when I was in my early 20s. We went to the same church, and he became a friend and really a mentor. And I used to go and just talk to him, have a cup of coffee, and we talk about things. And I shared with him an idea I had, or really probably asked him his opinion, did he think the church would want to publish a little magazine? And he encouraged me. And then, you know, a few days later, I shared it with Joy. And of course, it took root in my own heart and exploded in my own spirit. And it became Charisma Magazine, which ended up becoming my life's work. And thankfully, by God's grace, it's influenced a lot of people as we have added other magazines and published books and even podcasts. So in that way, you've even been impacted in a way. And I know that had George quenched that smallest flame, that little idea, probably I would have gone on and done something else. And we can only hope that somehow the Lord would have used me in different ways, but it would not have been Charisma Magazine. And so that was a, you know, very personal thing. I have a lot of respect for George. He was a fine Christian man. And he wrote an article in the first issue of Charisma. And maybe toward the end of the podcast, we can talk about it because it's quite interesting. He wrote about getting out of debt and how the scripture that says, owe no man anything except to love one another, Romans 13:8 became alive to him. And he impacted us in so many ways. And we have just a few minutes to talk and to remember his life. So first of all, Mary Jo, let me welcome you and just to offer to you my deepest condolences. George was 93 years old. He was a World War II vet, one of the last remaining, you know, frankly. We're losing almost all of them. And I know his story pretty well, but I just want to ask you, tell us where he was born. And he had a rather, I'm going to say interesting childhood, unusual childhood, difficult childhood. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about where George came from?
He was born in Franklin, North Carolina, to Zebulon and Nellie Reese. And Nellie died when he was 9 years old. She was very sick with cancer, so they sent him to live with his grandma and grandpa, maybe when he was only 8. And then his father had just came from Atlanta to buy school clothes for the kids because he was living with his granddaddy. And he got the news in December that his father had been killed in an automobile accident. He was 10 years of age at that time. So at 14 years of age, he went to work on his own in a cotton mill and was a very successful man in our marriage life. We met in 1964. We dated for 9 months. And I said we got married for lack of sleep. So we got married in 1969. I had 2 children by my first marriage, and they were small. He became their daddy, was really good to my children, good to me, spoiled me rotten, and I loved it.
Well, he had an interesting life because, of course, he grew up in the Depression in the rural South, and then went into the Army, and then got in the printing business and publishing of various kinds, ended up in Orlando at the Orlando Sentinel. And then in his early adulthood, he really committed his life to Christ and, you know, we say became spirit-filled. Just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when we first dated, we were neither one Christians. I'd been brought up in Assembly of God Church, and he had been brought up in the Methodist Church. I remember when we were dating, we were talking, and he was telling me how he had been an elder in the church and how he selected the minister. And I looked at him and I said, "You're not saved, and I'm not saved." I said, "We're both going to go to hell if we don't change." So I went and got my Bible that my Sunday school teacher had given me when I graduated from high school, and I read to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him, and you know, that they could be saved." And I said, "One day I'm going to get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover." And he threw up his hands and he said, "I might have known it. Everybody I've ever really liked was Pentecostal." And so the first
time. And it became true, didn't it? Because you do all those things.
In 1971, he got saved, and we were not in a Pentecostal church at that time. And he said he would debate the ones of us that were spirit-filled, how much more effective he and the pastor were, because they were witnesses, and we were just going around doing our praying in tongues and going from meeting to meeting. So one night we were praying for this little girl. She was 6 weeks old, and they were getting ready to do an open-heart surgery on her because she was a blue baby. She couldn't even take a formula. They were having to feed her like with an eye drop. And while we were praying, he got up very quietly and said, "Oh, that was so easy. I just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit." He said, "I ran out of words, and I just started praying in tongues." And, you know, he wasn't even excited. And here we've been fasting and praying and talking to him and dragging him to Derek Prince meetings and Bob Mumford. And he was enjoying taking all of us. And he was taking it in, but you couldn't tell that he was. And so our lives drastically changed from that time on. He started ministering at Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting, and we traveled in several states. We went to Canada, Grand Cayman Island. He went to Ecuador. You know, and we have had a great time together. We're best friends. That I would say to anyone that's married, if you're going to be married, let your husband be your best friend. And that way you can get away with a whole lot of things, women.
Well, by the time I met you in 1973, long time ago, you guys were on fire Christians. And I remember back in that era, Gene Lilly, who a lot of my listeners probably don't remember, but he had MS, and the Lord healed him. And George helped him write his book. George wrote several books, didn't he?
And yes, he wrote three or four for Gene.
And that's kind of how I knew him back in that day. And this was before I was ever doing any kind of that. But I want to bring in Rebecca McGinnis and my wife, Joy Strang. You guys knew George probably as well as I did. Are there things about his life or your interaction with him that stand out to you?
Yes. This is Joy. And in our early years, Steve and I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And George was our rescue. When our car wouldn't start because the battery had died, he came over, charged the battery, did whatever he could to make it run. The car continued to run. One time my contact got washed down the drain in the sink, and I couldn't afford to buy another hard lens contact and called George. He came over and took our sink and pipes apart and found it.
Which is something I couldn't do, that's
right.
For sure.
So he was always our rescue in practical ways. Here he was a spiritual man, and yet he was always willing to help. And the thing that always stood out to me is, though he had this rough upbringing in terms of just having to do for himself, he learned and taught himself everything he needed to know to really be successful in life. In the natural, practical world, as well as in a spiritual, that commitment to continue to learn all the time. And I just really honor him. All through his life, I honored him, but I honor him today, too.
And Rebecca, of course, you've ministered with Mary Jo many times. I've seen both of you flat on the floor under the power. And George, of course, was involved in a lot of that ministry as well.
Yes.
And especially after, actually, he worked, he retired, and then he worked, and then he retired again, and then he kept working. He was the schoolmaster at the Christian school that my son went to a number of years ago. And then he retired from that and continued in ministry, helping Mary Jo mainly. But what stands out to you, Rebecca, about George?
Actually, it was his sweetness. He was such a sweet man. He was the headmaster for Okava Christian School that my daughter was able to go to. And her father left in 2000. And George became like the grandfather to her. She had trouble in school after that for a while because she was just so distraught. And he would spend time with her, just talking to her and causing her to be comforted, and was just made such an impact on her life every time that I would see George after that. Anytime that I would see George, he'd ask me, "How's Katie?" And my Katie still loves him so much to this very day.
And she's turned out to be a fine young woman and mother and minister. She ministered at our church in music last week. And he impacted so many people. And, you know, that's why I'm taking time on a podcast. You know, George was never really famous, although here in Central Florida, he was widely known, had a lot of friends, of course, lived here for many years. You know, being famous was not important to him. But he had a significant impact. I mean, just consider the impact he had with me and Charisma Magazine. And in that first issue, he wrote this article that I referred to on getting out of debt. And I've pulled it out and I'm sharing it with people. And really, it's as applicable today as it was back then.
Yes.
Because, you know, he tells the story how he and Mary Jo, they were doing pretty good. They both had good paying jobs, and they had a house mortgage and a car payment, but so did everybody else. And they had some income properties, but they had a mortgage on the income property. And they heard Kenneth Copeland. He tells a story. And by the way, I will do a tribute to him. And in writing, I'll have a link to this article if anybody wants to read the whole thing word for word. And Kenneth Copeland was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention in early 1974. And George and Mary Jo felt convicted that they should get out of debt, and their debt was $38,000. And that seems like a lot of money, but it was a lot more money back then than it is today. In fact, I looked it up on the internet. It's the equivalent of $206,000 today. And the amazing thing was is that when you added up everything they had to pay off their debts, it was impossible. You know, I mean, you know, you get a paycheck so you can pay your bills and, you know, move through life, but not to retire debt. And the story is how the Lord miraculously did it. One of the rental properties, one of the tenants paid like $5,000 and took over the payment. So that debt was wiped away. Plus they had the cash. You know, other things like that happened. There was one time that he was doing something that, you know, he tells what it was, but it was some small violation of the law having to do with hooking up a speaker or something. And you're supposed to get the company to hook it up, and he hooked it up himself and he felt convicted. And did what he knew I was right. And he felt that that released the Lord's blessing. And before the end of the year, they'd wiped out this debt of $38,000. It'd be like you or me wiping out $200,000 worth of debt in a 9 or 10 month period, which is exactly what happened. And, you know, he makes very clear that each person has to respond to that scripture in the way that they feel led by the Spirit, that this is not the law. But for him and for Mary Jo, and I'm sure you remember this story very well. And he shared it in the first issue of Charisma, which was very small. We had 32 pages. We had much less than 1,000 subscribers back then. Thankfully, it grew over the years. And I don't even really remember how the story came about, except that I knew about it. So I must have asked George, would he write about it? And he did. And he also helped us lay out the magazine, I remember, because we were doing everything with volunteers back then. But Mary Jo, is there anything you'd want to add to the story about, you know, getting out of debt or any of the other things we've been talking about?
Well, when he told me that we were going to get out of debt and we piled all the bills up on the table, I looked at him and I said, well, I hope you can manage, because I'm not going to give away my Penny's charge card. And he said, but you have to. And I said, no, I'm not going to. And I said, I will agree with you for you to get out of debt, and I'll help you all I can. But I said, I've been poor all my life and struggling. And I said, I can go buy anything I want to now. And I'm not going that route. And then we prayed together. And I kept my card hid. I never used it. And we had, you know, God just did one miracle after another. Even our car tried to go out on us. We thought it was a transmission. And I remember I had a carload of kids and his daughter, who was not saved at that time. And I called him and I said, told him what the car was doing. And he said, pray over it, plead the blood of Jesus, and drive it home. And all it was a $19 little fan that was in the air conditioner. That's what they found. But I know that transmission was out of that car, and God healed it because of his faithfulness and me coming along behind him, sort of. dragging my feet. But we were married 50 sweet years, and he was a good husband. And in those 50 years, he's paid off three different houses. We've lived in about six. He sold, buy a house, sell it, make a profit. And so today he's with Jesus, and I have a four-bedroom, two-bath house, debt-free. And that's because of my precious husband that was faithful to me and faithful to God.
And you know, that's really the takeaway, and it's probably a good way to end the podcast. You know, no matter who we are, when it's our time to go, of course we want to go to heaven. But isn't it nice, or wouldn't it be nice, if the people who we know and live with can say the kind of things about us that we're saying about George?
Yes.
You know, that ought to be the goal, really, of every person, every human being, but especially of Christians. And to realize, you know, it's like the poem goes that was on the wall in my house when I was growing up, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I praise God for the life of George Klaus. He lived a long and full life. None of us are going to live forever. You get to some point, your quality of life's not so good just because you're up. Everybody wants to live a long time, but nobody wants to get old.
Amen.
And he, you know, he ran the race. And he achieved the goal. And I knew that I wanted to pay tribute to him. And I knew that the platform I have is a three times a week blog and a podcast. And because of his connection with Charisma, it was particularly important to let people know that legacy. Now, of course, he showed up at all of our anniversaries when we'd have him over the years, and we, every once in a while we'd have a banquet and so forth. He participated in all that stuff, especially, well, obviously, after you moved back to Orlando because you were gone for several years. So I might say that Mary Jo actually works for our company, and so does her son, Gil. And so we have connections in lots and lots of ways. And we love you, Mary Jo. We love your family. You know, it's never easy saying goodbye, but we say goodbye to George Klaus. We remember his legacy, and we thank God for his life. And I hope to the listeners, even though you who never had an opportunity to meet George, that you can be inspired by what you've heard today. And if it did inspire you, share it with someone. Maybe it'll inspire them as well. So thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. And thank you to my three lovely guests today for being with me. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.